These guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Happy Tuesday afternoon, everyone. John Hansen in for Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we got a packed show, so I'm going to jump right in it. And joining us on the line is John Najarian, contributor at CNBC and co-founder of Najarian Family Office. John, good to talk with you again.
Well, always a good time to talk with you, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, we got the Dow up slightly, the S&P and the NASDAQ down slightly, and I'm looking right at the lead page here on CNBC about recession odds spike to their highest level in 3 years, according to a CNBC study. I got a really dumb question for you, John, and that is, if anyone ever asked me what I thought was going to happen with the economy, I would just lie and be as positive as possible. And why can't everyone do that so we all just get this fake sense of confidence? Because confidence is what can drive a market, so let's just all fake it and think it's going to be fine.
Well, and you're right. that would be an interesting way to do it, but it's unfortunately not the way they do it. I think the most recent reading, the one we're talking about right now, is because of the government shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
They've estimated, you know, $11 billion or more may have impacted from consumer spending, confidence of consumers going forward, and so forth. So those are some of the things that are sort of from out of left field, because you didn't know how long it would last,
right,
or exactly what would be the net result. So I think that's mostly what we're looking at here. If you poll them next week, since the shutdown is over, I think it would be a slightly different view.
I'll beat you, John. Let's wait a month until we find out if it's going to shut down again. Let's just ask next month instead. One thing we're all watching for are these Apple earnings that are going to come, I think, after the closing bell today. What are we watching for there?
Well, it's since they don't break down the number of iPhones, the units, they're not giving us any input going forward anymore as to how many of those units, handsets, and so forth, they're selling. That was something the market didn't like. The market certainly likes transparency and doesn't like uncertainty, and you really couldn't create more uncertainty than by saying we're not going to offer any guidance those handsets. We're not going to break it down anymore.
Did they explain why they're doing it? Do they feel like they're giving their competitors information that they don't need to have? What was their reasoning for that?
I think they just kind of were getting frustrated. They know it's 60-some-odd percent of their revenue comes from the handsets. In other words, the new iPhone XR and so forth. They didn't like the fact that so many analysts, me included, were so hung up on, okay, is it 47 million? Is it 46.9 million? Is it 48 million units? And so forth. So they figured, okay, what if we just take it out and tell you how much money we made from selling handsets?
Right.
And you guys can figure out how many. Because basically what they did was they started telling us how much money per handset, rather than, so you could take a guess, but you can't really be very accurate, because they don't just sell the new models that they sell in the United States. They sell the 5s over in India, or they sell the 7s and the 7 pluses in Africa. In other words, it wouldn't give you a clear view of how many handsets, but rather what the margin is that they're getting, which is enormous, the margin.
Earlier this month, they kind of adjusted their revenue estimates down, and they had done it a couple times, and shares really obviously reflected that with a kind of a 10% drop. They've clawed their way back. You know, the one advantage is if you've lowered your earning estimates is that you give yourself a better opportunity, I guess, to report better than earning afterwards. I wonder if this number comes out a little bit higher than their lowest earnings amount, if the markets will reflect accordingly.
Yeah, they would. I mean, and the question that you raise is a great one. Is the bar low enough that they can just step over it? They
right.
no longer have to jump over it. And given that, you know, just over a quarter ago, this stock was $232 a share, just two quarters ago. And this last quarter, you were able to pick it up for under $150.
Wow.
Got all the way down to about 145. So that is one of the biggest corrections we've seen out of Apple. And I think that's why a lot of us were aggressively buying it here. We'll see if we're rewarded after the close, but
yeah.
So far, so good.
Staying in the tech corridor, the U.S. Justice Department filing criminal charges against the big Chinese company Huawei and their financial officer. What are these charges about? What are they alleging here?
Well, a lot of, you remember about a month and a half or so ago, we found that they, Huawei and others, were putting basically a listening device onto a chip. They had become so good at it that they could put ways that they could track not just where the consumer and business went, but actually hear what was going on in various what might have been secure military operations as well. And so the U.S. Was really angry about this, said, we're going to block all of your chips if you guys don't stop this, Huawei and others. And that hasn't really been fully addressed yet. So that's finally what they're doing now with this lawsuit.
And they also, Wilbur Ross made a point to say that these are obviously separate from ongoing trade negotiations with China, because you wonder if those waters might be a little muddy. Okay, question for you. You got any tips, anything you're looking at here that might be an interesting pickup for people?
Well, I guess so.
I don't mean to put you on the spot here.
No, that's quite all right. We're out here with a whole bunch of firms from around the world in Squaw Valley, and we're out here because of there's a big meeting of exchanges from around the world. And one of the things I think all of us are kind of focused on right now, other than China, is crude oil and the energy markets. So lately we have been buying back into many of the energy stocks that we dumped. We're doing that right now mainly through the exploration stocks. So Anadarko Petroleum, APC, is one that we're actually in there buying today.
John, you're on top of a mountain, and we're going to be about 50 degrees cooler than you are here tomorrow into tonight. So,
maybe 100. Yeah. Maybe 100. It's 45 degrees
here.
Oh,
my God.
In Squaw Valley.
Well,
so, yeah.
Enjoy that, John Najarian. Enjoy that balmy 45.
Sir.
And thank you for stopping by. John Najarian, contributor at CNBC and the co-founder of Najarian Family Office. Always appreciate that. 720 WGN, John Hanson in for Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Free bacon! Free bacon alert. I hope I got your attention wherever you're driving right now. Yes, there's a chance to get free bacon. That's some certainly good news, and I can promise you, at least I think I can, that you're going to be able to get it in a place that's pretty close to your house. I got Michael Harris, chef over at McDonald's. Michael, thanks for joining us here on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I've gotten everyone's attention with free bacon, and now I've introduced you as a chef at McDonald's. So there's a bacon hour. It's this afternoon, right?
Absolutely. So from 4 to 5 p.m. local time at participating restaurants, when you come in, you order some food, we will give you a free side of bacon. And we're hoping that you use that bacon, put it on your favorite menu items, make a crazy mashup. We want you to take pictures of it and hashtag bacon hour so we can see all the ridiculous things you are going to do with that bacon.
Okay, so it comes on the side. I was wondering about that, because if I ordered a sundae with bacon, I'm going to have to do some of the construction myself.
That would be correct. So you're going to get a side of our applewood smoked bacon. Then you can assemble it to your specification and your desire.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen someone put bacon in?
The weirdest thing ever. A lot of people do bacon and dessert. So whether that's cheesecake, whether that's pairing it with our apple pie, whether that's putting it in our fruit and yogurt parfait. I mean, the sweet and salty combo is actually pretty darn tasty. So it ain't the worst idea.
Oh, I've had it on donuts. I've had it on a lot of things before. It's never really a bad idea. Now, when you say a side of bacon, how many strips are we talking? I know that'll vary depending on, you know, how many they grab onto the things and they throw them in there. But is it a good little amount there?
Sure, yeah, you get two hash strips of bacon, so that'll fit perfectly on your sandwich. It'll be perfect if you want to make a little chicken McNugget slider, or if you want to use that bacon as a stir for your coffee, whatever you so desire, bacon's for you.
I hadn't thought about that one, Chef Mike. That was a good one. I don't know why I need to ask this question, but I feel the need to. So free bacon today at a McDonald's Bacon Hour. Why?
So this week we're also launching our new limited-time menu offerings, Classics with Bacon. So now you can get a Big Mac bacon, a quarter-pounder bacon, and actually our brand spanking new cheesy bacon fries. And that's pretty exciting because I like to say our fries are pretty darn good. I think we might have be one of the best in the biz, but you know, the only thing that makes those better is adding a little cheese and a little bacon to it.
Oh, that sounds really, really good. Okay, and you say at all participating McDonald's, it always makes me worried that my McDonald's will be the one that doesn't participate in these, but I imagine the vast majority are participating.
Oh, absolutely. So this is a national thing going on, so even East Coast, West Coast, there's going to be restaurants all over the place that are pressed with more bacon than normal. If you have any questions, you could either go to the website, call your local McDonald's, but there should be bacon for everybody.
Yeah, just roll down the window. You'll be able to smell it from a mile away. Chef Mike from McDonald's.
That's right. That's right.
Chef Mike, thanks for joining us. Good luck today, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
720 WGN, John Hanson in for Steve Bertrand until 1 o'clock. Then you got John Williams. So I'm here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Okay, no surprise that Chicago's financial situation isn't all that great sometimes. And Government Finance and Transparency Watchdog Truth and Accounting, they released today their third annual Financial State of the Cities report. And Chicago's grade, well, they don't give them letter grades, but they do it in a really unique way. And here to break that all down for us is Sheila Weinberg, the founder and CEO of Truth and Accounting. Sheila, thanks for joining us here on the Winter's Business Lunch.
Well, thanks for having me. Unfortunately, I'm bringing bad news, but hopefully things will get better.
It's about to be minus 25 degrees. We can take it. We're already in that mindset. I know you're a Chicago and you're used to this stuff. So this year's report finds that Chicago owes $32.4 billion. How does that work? Are you talking about like a gap in their budget? Are you talking about what they'll owe, a snapshot of what it is today, including future payments on pensions? Walk us through how you get to that number.
Well, it's the easiest way to think about it is think about it, you know, on a personal level. So we're looking at all your assets. We don't need to consider your house because you shouldn't pay that, sell that to pay your bills. And then we're adding all the bills that you've accumulated to date, all your you know, grocery bills, your credit card bills, and we add all those up and come up with the money needed to pay bills. And in Chicago's case, that's $32.5 billion that they're short.
All right. So the way that you guys kind of do this report is unique in that you decide then to see what it would cost each taxpayer to, if they were to put down that money right now, how much would they have to do to get the city out of the hole? So what is that number?
That number is $36,000. So each taxpayer just needs to go to a city hall, deliver a check for $36,000, and we will be back in to a balance. And yeah, the elected officials will point out that, well, you're considering the pensions and the retiree health care benefits, that we're going to pay those off over time. But again, it's like your credit card. Yeah, you're going to pay your credit card off over time. You might choose to do that, but it doesn't mean that you don't have a current credit card balance. And right now, the city has a $28 billion pension credit card balance in the city.
So that number is staggeringly high. And but then I was like, well, you know, I don't know how other cities are. I imagine a lot of cities have debt. And when you look at the one sheet you guys gave us, there's a lot of red on this. There's some green. But this number is extremely high compared to a lot of other cities.
Yeah, the average of all the 50 states is $7,500. And the worst is actually New York, which is a whopping $6,400. But I would caution you not to think, oh, well, great. Well, Chicago's doing better than New York City. But you have to keep in mind that the city of Chicago does not include their school districts, so CPS. And CPS's per taxpayer number is about $18,000. Or New York City, they include their school district within their government numbers.
What about CTA? Is that included in this?
That is not included in that. In fact, we'll do a second study later on where we will take CPS plus the city of Chicago plus CTA plus the Park District plus Cook County plus the state of Illinois and come up with a number of, if you're a taxpayer in the city of Chicago, here's your share of all those government's debt. And the last time we did that, it came out to be more than $128,000 per taxpayer.
That's an incredible number. Although I got to ask though, so if you're considering future liabilities, and I agree, it's kind of like your credit card bill. Like you should feel like that is a debt that you owe. But in theory, then if it was, you know, what the number is now, 32,000, we wouldn't have to all write that check right now. That could also be spread out over the length of the payments that will be going and the liability or the benefits that we're promising in the future, right?
Yes, but again, it's private previous deals that they have chosen to pay in the future. So remember, every year, you know, the state does have that the city has to balance its budget. But what they've done is balance the budget by pushing these costs onto future taxpayers. Why, when I'm a taxpayer in the future, should I have to pay for somebody's pension when that person isn't working for me? But because of all the accounting and budgeting schemes that the elected officials did, they pushed that cost on to future taxpayers and really did not balance their budget.
When I look at a population similar to Chicago, the taxpayer burden in L.A. is 6,000. Taxpayer burden in Houston is 11,300. Still high numbers, but certainly way less. What have we done so wrong, and what can we do to try and make this to do a stopgap here?
Well, I go back to that this isn't just a numbers game. We're not, you know, we look at it more as, you know, almost, you know, getting on to the high horse here of looking at it as a system where people have not been able to actively, intelligently participate in their governments. And we think that this has actually harmed the city's representative form of government because the citizens haven't had the information they need to be knowledgeable participants. Would the voters have chosen different people to elect or reelect if taxes had to be almost double to cover the cost of the budget to really balance the budget? But because the elected officials have used these accounting schemes to pretend the budget's balanced, the citizens have been lulled into a false sense of security, and they have not been able to be a knowledgeable participant in their government's financial situation.
Sheila, it's an interesting story, of course, and I think it's eye-opening to a lot of people. Last question for you. I see Aurora on the list. Is that Aurora, Colorado, or Aurora, Illinois?
That is Aurora, Colorado.
I was going to say they have a surplus.
To see all the cities, you can go to our statedatalab.org website and click on all the cities, or you can create a chart to compare Chicago to other cities, especially if you're thinking of moving somewhere else.
Sheila, and a lot of people are. Sheila, we appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Plenty more coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. So, assuming you're not a hermit, you know that the deep freeze is coming to the Midwest, and Chicago has the potential to be colder than Mount Everest if you find the right wind tunnel downtown. Sick! But I always say, you've got to find the silver lining, and the silver lining is this, that the delivery service industry is probably going to make some good money, because no one wants to get off their couch and out of their sweatpants as they work from home. One of the big winners could be the recently funded Chow Bus. If you've got the hankering for authentic Asian food, they can help you out. It's a food delivery service that just focuses on that kind of food. Niche market. If it's cold enough for long enough, this could become a staple. And Chicago could soon become a staple for the cryptocurrency industry. Yeah, they're still around. 30 new crypto vending machines from Lux Vending and Bitcoin Depot have dropped in the city because no matter what you think about them, people are still using them. But at the moment, that might be the extent of their use. Until we see the next move from the cryptocurrency industry, go check one of the 30 out. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks, Orion. All right, 720 WGN, the Wintrust Business Lunch. Jumping right into our next guest, we got Brad Rukstalis, the president and CEO of Cogentia. And Brad, you guys specialize in something you like to call customer intimacy. Explain.
Sure. Thanks for having me, John. Customer intimacy is it's a philosophy that we bring as a marketing services provider to our clients. And clients that we work with in retail, restaurants, utilities, telecommunications, they're always looking to build deeper customer relationships so that they can have the right marketing communications to drive incremental business. So customer intimacy is our approach to using technology and data to understand what consumers need, and right down to the specific customer, what they need, and finding ways for our clients to connect with that customer with the right product offerings and the right communications so that the customer feels like they have a strong relationship with that brand.
I got to imagine it's an art, because I get a lot of different requests for things. I have a lot of different restaurants that send me coupon after coupon, and at a point it becomes annoying and doesn't seem that personalized. So I imagine, Brad, it's about finding the art in it and making sure that you've got the right message for each customer.
That's very true. So, for instance, we've worked with a wide range of restaurants, everyone from a Chicago institution like Morton Steakhouse to Applebee's to IHOP and other large brands. And one good example of how we bring the technology and the data to life would be for a restaurant that, say, is coming out with a gluten-free menu. And we might look through the data and identify the customers who have purchased gluten-free meals in the past or spiralized or some sort of related item. So when we send an email to them saying, hey, here's something new for you, that's the kind of that magical interaction we're looking for. And we see phenomenal results when we're able to apply our technology and analytics to the data to pull those sorts of insights out to drive the communication.
So when I have a mouthwatering burger one day and the next day I have an email of that same mouthwatering burger, it's meant to drive me to go right back?
That's right. That's right. Or if you order something, a to-go order on a Tuesday night, you might see that you have an offer for a to-go order, maybe an hour earlier the next Tuesday, because that's a pattern that we're able to see in the data.
That's really cool stuff. Brad, I wish we had more time, and we'll have to have you on again to break this down a little bit more. Where can people find out more about Cogentia and what you guys do?
You can go to our website, cogentia.com. That's Cogensia. com, and I also have a podcast interviewing leaders in the industry called The Cogent Marketer, which you can find anywhere that you look for podcasts today.